This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hey, DeAndre here with an exciting update to our podcast format. So starting today, we're going to share the audio from our long format YouTube videos after they drop right here on our podcast. For those who've been with us for a while, you might recognize some of this content, like today's comprehensive Bali guide, which longtime listeners will remember back from our full-length episode number 41, where Taryn and I detailed our Southeast Asia adventure. But this isn't just recycled content. This YouTube version, while abbreviated, has all the visual elements we aren't able to convey with our regular show. The drone footage over rice terraces, the stunning bamboo house, and the breathtaking sunset views of Mount Agung. If you want the full experience, head over to our YouTube channel, which you can find the video linked in the show notes. Even if you've already heard our original Bali episode, I think you'll discover some fresh insights here. We've refined our tips and included new inspiration that might help you on your next Bali adventure. There's also shorter trips we take, places we stay, and adventures we have that never make it into the show, but we'd love to be able to share. We want to make sure all our travel insights are available to you, whether you prefer watching or listening. So no matter if this is your first time hearing about our Bali journey, or you've been on the journey with us for a while, sit back, settle in, and let's re-explore Bali together. And remember, it's never too late to boldly go and revolutionize your own journeys. So imagine waking up in a bamboo house surrounded by emerald rice fields, having a traditional healer know your deepest secrets, scuba diving in a shipwreck, and swinging over lush valleys, all while spending a fraction of what most people would pay. Well, that's exactly what we did in Bali, and I'm about to show you how. Hey everyone, I'm DeAndre Koch, a financial advisor who's passionate about exploring the world with my fiance, Taryn. In just 3 short years, we've visited almost 20 countries together, typically flying business class and staying in luxury accommodations, all while using points and miles strategies that we share in our weekly podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey. Today, I'm taking you through the highlights of our incredible trip to Bali. And just a quick note, we flew there in business class on China Airlines, a flight that would have been over $10,000 in total that we only paid $400 for. So if you're interested in learning more on how we did that, check out our full-length podcast episode. So first, let me start with some crucial tips for arriving in Bali, because this alone can save you hours of frustration at the airport. For years, I've heard horror stories about the immigration process at Denpasar Airport, with travelers waiting 2 to 3 hours just to get through. But there's a much better way. First, complete your B1 tourist visa online before your trip, and we'll link to that below. This costs $35 per person and requires uploading passport photos and filling out information, which takes about 10 to 20 minutes or so, but it's absolutely worth it because it allows you to use the e-gates upon arrival and there's no waiting in a visa line or anything like that. The second thing is that you're going to want to complete your customs declaration form. This can only be done 1 to 2 days before your arrival, so set a reminder while you're on your journey. We actually did ours while in San Francisco before our flight to Bali. Without this QR code, you'll be stuck trying to complete the form on the spotty airport Wi-Fi while everyone else is leaving, and we saw plenty of people having to do that. Third, I would consider paying the tourist tax, which is about $10 per person. While we never actually got asked to show proof of payment during our stay, and some people have said they never needed and they didn't pay it themselves, I think it's always best to be safe rather than sorry. And there have been some travelers that have reported being stopped and checked by officials. And the funds supposedly go towards keeping Bali clean and safe, so I think overall it's just good to do for peace of mind. Trust me, this preparation makes a massive difference, especially after a long flight. When you're exiting the airport, be prepared for a swarm of taxi drivers, resort people with signs, all calling out for your business. This can be pretty overwhelming if you're not ready for it. I highly recommend arranging transportation in advance through either your hotel or through a trusted driver. For our trip, we stayed at the Alila Seminyak first, and they had a driver waiting for us with a sign. And, you know, with Bali's notorious traffic, especially around the tourist areas, having a professional driver who knows the routes can really make a stressful journey a much more comfortable start to your vacation. So Seminyak is a great place to start, and it's one of Bali's most popular areas for a really good reason. It's located on the western coast, and it offers beautiful beaches, world-class dining, trendy boutiques, and a really vibrant nightlife. And it's more developed than other parts of Bali, so it's really great for first-time visitors who want a little bit of convenience and a little bit of variety. The main streets are all lined with designer stores, art galleries, surf shops. You'll find really incredible restaurants ranging from high-end international cuisine to affordable local warungs, which is a local kind of hole-in-the-wall type restaurant where you're going to find a guy probably serving you food in flip-flops. There's not going to be AC. It might be hot. There's not going to be any fancy drinks, but you're going to have some really, really amazing and inexpensive local food options. And the beach area kind of transforms in the evening as beach clubs come alive with music and beautiful sunset views. So it's a really, really incredible place to get started. But one thing that you want to know about Seminyak is the traffic can be a little intense. We often found it easier to walk to nearby locations than deal with the gridlock, especially during those peak hours. So we stayed at the beautiful Alila Seminyak. It's a beautiful Hyatt property right on the beach. Our ocean view suite had stunning sunset views and direct beach access. The property itself is gorgeous with multiple infinity pools that really just kind of seem to blend in with everything. And the breakfast buffet here deserves a special mention because it stretched like 30 yards long with every option imaginable, from traditional Balinese offerings to Western favorites, fresh tropical fruits, a honey bar with the honeycomb, made to order food station, and so much more. It was truly one of the most impressive hotel breakfasts I think I've ever seen. And right outside the property is the famous Potato Head Beach Club, and it's one of Seminyak's, you know, really fun hotspots. While it's definitely worth checking out, you know, we actually found that the ambiance at Alila's own beach area with its live music and the sunset views were just as enjoyable and a lot less crowded. And just so you know, as far as costs in Seminyak, food and drinks at hotels and beach clubs can be relatively expensive, especially by Bali standards, but they're still reasonable considering if you compare them to similar experiences in the US or in Europe. But if you just venture a few streets away from the main tourist area, you will find that prices drop significantly for food that was equally delicious, or I would wager actually a little bit better as well. And that Ocean View suite would have cost us about $625 per night for our two-night stay. So, you know, over $1,250 in cash. Instead, we transferred 80,000 card points to Hyatt, and that made our stay completely free. So after our stay in Seminyak, we headed inland, and this is where I really want to emphasize one of the most valuable tips for enjoying Bali and experiencing it. You have to find a really great driver. In Bali, drivers aren't just transportation providers, they become your tour guides, cultural interpreters, and problem solvers. They become your friend. We were fortunate to connect with Wyan, who was recommended by another friend of ours, and what started as a simple ride to see a shaman in Ubud turned into a really incredible guided tour across the island along our way. The reason why I recommend having a good guide is because a great guide is going to kind of customize your experience based on what you want to do specifically, not just kind of go on the standard tour. They're going to take you to authentic local restaurants with incredible food. They're going to suggest some attractions that aren't in all the guidebooks or you don't hear about all the time. You know, you're going to have some cultural insights as well to understand, and they're going to have all the logistics really mapped out for you. And the cost of a full day driver is typically around about $40 to $60 plus tip, which I think is a huge value considering all the things that you're going to get. You know, Wyan took us on an excursion all over Bali. You know, it was a very full day, took us from Seminyak to Salat, and it was really only, again, about $50 plus we tipped him very, very well. It was absolutely worth it. So if you're going to Bali and you want to ride around and get shown the ropes like we did with Wyan, specifically our Wyan, well, we'll put a link in the notes to our contact us form on the website. Just fill that out, say you're looking for Wyan's information, and we'll get that sent right over to you. So one of the unique experiences that we had is that Wyan arranged for us a visit to a local shaman. This is something that Taryn really wanted to do, my fiance. To be very clear, this wasn't some sort of tourist attraction. We literally stopped on the side of the road, walked into essentially a neighborhood, and entered a family's compound while they were like cooking a daily meal. And I'm going to admit, I was very skeptical. I'm not into the woo-woo stuff at all. But I went along, I wanted to support Taryn, and this was really going to be her thing. But what happened next completely changed my perspective, maybe opened my eyes, I would say. Because the shaman knew things about Taryn that really no one else could have researched, specific health issues, things about her past and her family, details about her life and work, and these were pretty amazing to see happen live by someone that was literally on the other side of the world and could have never known otherwise. I watched his expressions as he spoke, and my skepticism started quickly draining away. And I would say that it wasn't just, you know, kind of the spiritual piece of it as well. He actually did some physical healing. He performed a back cracking treatment that we still haven't figured out exactly how he did, that instantly released a lot of pressure and tension that Taryn had been carrying for a while. And so whatever your beliefs are, I think it could be a really cool experience for anyone to take a look into. So after the shaman, Wyan then took us to experience the famous Bali swing over lunch. And one of the things that we learned that I don't think a lot of other travelers know is that there's a lot of swing locations. There's not just one. I think everyone always sees a swing and assumes it's the swing, but there's a lot of places to do the Bali swing. And Wyan knew exactly which one to take us to because it was in a much less crowded location with amazing, amazing views of the rice terrace. Taryn actually wore a flowing red dress, and the operators were expert photographers who knew exactly how to capture those Instagram-worthy shots, which was really cool, and basically, they just let it rip for us. So what made this particular location super special was that it included a lunch at a warung that was overlooking those same rice terraces. And so we were able to try some crispy duck, which became one of our favorite dishes on the trip, and the whole swing. So having them take photos of us, the lunch, all the things was easily around $30 total. It was very inexpensive. Just for a quick pause, if you're enjoying this Bali guide so far and finding it helpful for planning your own adventure, make sure to hit the like and subscribe button to the channel. We're constantly sharing new travel content featuring destinations from around the world and tips on how to experience luxury travel without the luxury price tag. Drop a comment below if you have any questions about Bali as well, because we are absolutely here to help. So another fascinating stop was at a coffee plantation when we learned about the Luwak coffee, and it's one of the world's most expensive coffees. So the Luwak was an animal similar to like a large ferret that eats coffee beans, and the beans pass through its digestive system where the enzymes alter the bean's chemistry, and then they're collected, cleaned, heated, and used for coffee. It sounds super unusual, and I was not sure I was going to want to try it, but it actually is really, really good. It's like this uniquely smooth, earthy flavor with lots of layers of complexity in there. And the couple places we saw actually had tasting experiences where you could actually sample various products, teas, coffees, not just the Luwak coffee as well. And typically the tastings were only about like $5 US. The Luwak coffee was usually a little bit more expensive, but you also can buy coffee to take home, which is great for gifts and other things. And it's so much cheaper to wait for these experiences than to try it when you're like in Seminyak or in town. You go to a coffee shop, they're gonna charge like 5x more than if you just drink it right at the plantation. So by far, the most Instagrammable place we stayed was a Gung's Nest in Salat. And so for only $300 a night, we had a bamboo house in the middle of the rice terraces with Mounted Gung, which is a full volcano in the background. So this was a truly unique accommodation experience. You know, the structure, the building itself was entirely made of bamboo. It had high open ceilings with like this open air design. The private pool overlooked the rice fields. There was a swing and viewing platforms to enjoy, you know, the amazing landscape there. Despite being completely immersed in nature, we had all the comforts we needed. The staff would walk through the rice fields to deliver meals directly to our doors. They actually brought our luggage from the vehicles and walked the 5 minutes or so to the house. The Wi-Fi was surprisingly reliable for a pretty remote location. And while there was no air conditioning, the valley location kept the temperature very comfortable, especially with the light breezes. Just so you know, you are truly in the heart of nature there. So at night, we often fell asleep to the sound of frogs and insects. They had a whole netting situation so that frogs and insects didn't come into the bed. And so that's just something you're gonna wanna know. If you're not a nature lover, this could be a little too close to nature for you. We even were able to schedule a massage. So we had a couple's massage on the patio overlooking the rice terraces, and the masseuses, they came to us, which was fantastic. It just made for a great overall experience. So after spending a couple days in a Gung's Nest and just really relaxing and taking it all in, for the final few days of our trip, we headed to Amed on Bali's eastern coast, and we stayed there for a full week. So this area is a lot less talked about in travel guides, but absolutely worth visiting, because it reminded me of Thailand's more laid-back beach towns with kind of a focus of diving and snorkeling rather than, you know, the nightlife aspect. And what's really amazing about Amed is that nearly every other building on the main street is a dive shop, which I think speaks to the quality of the underwater experiences that you can have there. There's black sand beaches, which have a nice contrast with the striking blue water, and the marine life is pretty abundant offshore. So this is a really great place to stay. We stayed at a place called Villa Paradiso with friends, and this was a really beautiful property that had three master bedrooms and a separate cottage kind of on the compound. And this villa came with a staff who took care of everything from meals to laundry to excursions, and everything was absolutely fantastic. There are other places you can stay within their villa as well, and they actually had a restaurant on site in the middle of the villa, so you can get drinks at, food, all those different things. One of our highlights in Amed was the food by far. We visited several local warungs where their prices were astonishingly low. As I mentioned, I mean, this is a local place, no AC, but really great food. And I did the math on one of our meals, and for a party of six of us, including all of our waters and a couple beers and such, cost $13 US total. So Taryn and I are really big divers, and Amed offers really something special for that there. We explored a U.S. Army transport wreck that was just off the coast, got to swim with some sea turtles in crystal clear water. So even if you're not a certified diver, you can snorkel from pretty much most of the beaches there. In fact, a couple of the beaches we went to, they gave you the gear that you could just rent directly to just walk out and snorkel and see some vibrant marine life. One of the things I absolutely have to shout out was Sunset Point, because that was an absolutely unforgettable view. Our driver, Made, arranged reservations for us in a perfect location overlooking the view of Mount Agung, but this time from the coast, and it was fantastic. The colors with the sun behind the volcano, honestly, it created one of the most breathtaking and what I would consider iconic views of our entire trip. So on our last full day, we woke up at about 4 a.m. to visit the Lempuyang Temple for the famous Gates of Heaven photo. And I know you've seen this before. So this experience requires a little bit of planning, but delivers those famous shots that you've seen all over Instagram and you're probably going to want yourself. I'll be honest with you, at times I like to avoid the super Instagrammable popular locations, but this was actually worth it and was a pretty cool experience. But here's the thing, you gotta get there absolutely early. That is crucial. We arrived about 20 minutes before opening and we still got ticket number 30, which is not that bad. But again, we got there 20 minutes before it even opened. The good news is that the ticketing system has improved in the recent years. So now you receive a number, and that number allows you to explore the temple grounds and everything like that. And they call out the numbers out loud, so you don't have to stand in a physical line and wait forever one by one by one, where you can't even explore or take other pictures or see around, which is nice. But it does get crowded and you can start to see how it gets filled up. And so getting there early makes it so much easier. And when your number is called, you'll be led to the famous gates. And here's the inside scoop that the reflection that you always see in that amazing picture is just created by someone who's holding a mirror under the camera. It's a super clever illusion that creates the appearance of that reflecting pool, but despite knowing the trick, the photos are still pretty amazing, especially if you can time it with the weather and the clouds to get the volcano shot in the background as well. Overall, the experience was absolutely worth it, so even if you like to go off the beaten path, I would still recommend getting a shot and visiting the Gates of Heaven. It does make for a super iconic shot of you for your trip to Bali. So after two incredible full weeks in Bali, I can absolutely say I understand why it's such a special place. The island offers an extraordinary blend of natural beauty, cultural richness, and warm hospitality that honestly it's pretty hard to find anywhere else. And what I really loved was the energy of the people, because Indonesia was recently ranked as one of the most generous countries, and after experiencing Bali, I can honestly see why. So no matter what you're looking for, whether it's adventure, relaxation, cultural immersion, a spiritual awakening, Bali does offer all of that at a fraction of what you might expect to pay. And by staying in a mix of accommodations from, you know, international luxury brands to unique local properties, we were able to experience the full spectrum of what Bali has to offer, and there's so much more that we didn't get to see. So here's my advice for anyone planning a trip. Don't try to see everything in one visit. Pick a few areas to explore deeply rather than just rushing between attractions. We didn't even cover all the places that we went in this video, but it is in the podcast if you want to hear about all the locations that we went to. But I'd say this, make sure to connect with the local drivers who can show you the authentic side of Bali beyond just the local tourist hotspots. So if you're planning your own Bali adventure, I hope that this information can help you create your own unforgettable experience. And for more details on how we used points and miles strategically to make a luxury trip fairly affordable, then check out our podcast playlist here or on whatever platform you listen to your podcasts anywhere. Until next time.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick single topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.